saints of every race, they shall behold his face. Oh, and with him enter heaven's city, oh, ever to acclaim. What a lovely name. Oh, and he is higher than the highest. He is greater than the great. No one can ever take his crown away. And he's more mighty than the mightiest. And he reigns from above. And gentlemen, I have your attention. I want to introduce to you, oh, in this corner of the good and the right, stands a champion robe.
Undefeated champion of love. Amen. How many are looking forward to that meeting? That meeting we're going to have in the air. Let's sing that tonight if you will. Well, you have heard of little Moses in the bulrush, and you have heard of fierce David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us meet them at that meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air in that mourner's bench will have no place at all. There will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinner had refused to hear the call.
Birthdays this week. I believe it's on Thursday. I think it's on Saturday that Elijah and Ella Ball are celebrating their birthday, so we wish them a happy birthday tonight.
Oh, sometimes hallelujah.
Imagine what can happen in the service tonight if we get all our minds and our hearts in one accord. Amen. Sister Caden, I think, and Sister Emma, they've got a song for us tonight. Y'all just be making your way up. We have some new mics, so bear with us just a second to get them going, okay? By the way, I want to say how much I appreciate Brother Sam working on that. I think he came yesterday, maybe at 11 o'clock. And stayed until 12 midnight last night working on that and trying to get all this going. I believe somebody like that deserves a rose, and I want to give it to him tonight.
Amen.
Sound good tonight.
Amen.
I appreciate Brother Sam doing that. And also I appreciate Kobe being here tonight. I'm enjoying the work. I think he and Sister Kaylee had been traveling. They got in at 5:40 this evening, their plane landed, and made an effort to be here without eating or anything tonight. And we really appreciate that. Amen. God will bless the sacrifice, won't he? Amen. Let's stand together if you will, and invite Brother Johnson to come and speak for us tonight. what the Lord has laid on his heart tonight. I think it's B flat.
Oh, something keeps holding me every day I see. He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. He's guiding me constantly, giving me victories, and he's a reality, 'cause something keeps holding me. Now Satan laid before me his temptation and his desire to steal away my faith. Oh, but I have found in time the strength that I need to keep me in his grace. Oh, something keeps holding me every day. He's helping me faithfully to trials. He's guiding me constantly, and he's giving me victories, and he's a reality, 'cause something keeps holding me. Yes, he's a reality, 'cause something keeps holding me.
Amen. Is he a reality to you? Yes. Amen. Do you see that when you go through hard times, he carries you?
That's right.
The footprints on the times of sin. What a lesson to know that when the hardest moments of our life, we're not even doing anything. He's got us in his arms and carrying us to our victory. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate everyone being out tonight. Amen. Appreciate having church on Wednesday night. Amen. It's not because I'm preaching. I'm just happy to be at church. They require me to be at so much, and you too. You know, your workplace, your family, you got so much going on. But, man, we've got these two times a week that we dedicate to God. We can come in here and we forget about everything that's going on.
Yes.
It's hard because we're human.
Right.
But we can put our mind to the wheel and we can say, God, help us tonight.
Yes.
Give me the strength I need for another day.
Yes.
Amen. Appreciate Brother Joseph asking me. And hey, look, it's just, we're just family here. So
amen.
We can be happy and we can worship God. And
yes.
You don't, hey, look, the good thing about a smaller crowd, you don't have to worry about the make-believer looking at you funny when you say amen.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen. So let's just loosen up. Let's have church tonight because I ain't loose, so y'all going to have to help me. So,
right.
Amen. So if we could, I want to try to continue on a little bit the other night when I preached Recognize and then Power. We'll just go into part two and we'll read just a portion. I know where the scripture is very familiar, but Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. We'll move on down and try to get to where we're going with this. Amen. I love it when things come to life as you're ministering as well. You know, so many times I hear the prophet preaching, and in the middle of his preaching, he'll get excited. You know what happened? God opened his eyes to something. He studied it. He's prayed. He's looked at it. But when it starts coming forth, see, his eyes are opened. And, you know, sometimes that happens to me, and I slap the pulpit and jump up and down because it's fresh. And that's what we look for. But Luke chapter 15, let's just drop down to verse 14. Verse 17, And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and be thee. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son, but make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father had said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. No hesitation. And put it on him. And put a ring upon his hand and shoes upon his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. And he is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. Let's just say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, once again, Lord, we have an opportunity to worship you, Lord. We have an opportunity to serve you in a greater way, Lord. Your prophet would say if in the church we would leave closer to thee or further away. Lord, let this be an opportunity tonight, Lord, to draw closer to you. Lord, let your words be spoken that you would have spoken, Lord. Would you inspire my mind? Would you inspire my voice, Lord, in the words that I would say, not be mine, but be thine. In your lovely name we pray. Amen and amen. And you can be seated. Amen. Take this off. I don't know why we put them on, but we do. Amen. So anyway, we look at the prodigal son, and I know we'll hit a few things that we was on last Wednesday night, but we'll try to move on down and use another example or two. But it's just been a real inspiration to me as I've been studying it and been looking at it and been looking at different types and how it goes. And there's so much in here that if we're not careful, we overlook the simplicity of how God works.
That's
and
right.
God has given us a parable. Jesus has given us a parable. His word has given us a parable of the prodigal son. And he's telling us that you've got to recognize who you are. And we really dealt along that lines of recognizing who you are for this day. And look, I've had people come up to me in the message for 30, 40 years and say, don't you think we're past that? No, because we're still here. We're still fighting everyday battles. We're still struggling to identify ourselves and understand the full potential that God has in store for us. We're still looking at a place that we're trying to get there. And I think I yanked that thing plumb off. Amen. But we're trying in a way to get there, and we're trying to see who we really are. And you know, so many times we look at that and we say, well, I did that years ago when I come to the altar. But in the middle of the battle, sometimes you lose focus. You lose focus of who you really are. You're going through your daily routine. You're going through your daily struggles. You're going through everything that you have to do as humans upon this earth. And you lose your focus of who you really are. And it's a little lengthy, but in foreign spiritual amnesia, Brother Brown told a story about a French soldier. He said, notice a French soldier. He says, they got a bunch of soldiers in from the army that had this amnesia. He said, it was from shock on the battlefield. Oh, God, help us to spiritually see. So many of us have come such a long way that we become in shock from the battlefield. We become in shock from the demons that try to possess us, that try to come against us, that try to fight us in every way. We become in a shocked state, not realizing who we are. We've lost that recognition of who we are because we've been on the battlefield. And children of God, we know because we fight the battle. The battle is every day of our lives. We're in a battle every day of our lives, and we're fighting this battle every day. And it's not always easy. And sometimes it overtakes me. And sometimes I fall down before God. But yet I'm still his son. And he said, and they had a program. He said, they called and they let the people who missed their loved ones to call and see if they could get it out of these boys. No hope for them. Oh, God, there was no hope for me. But they said maybe one or two out of it caught it. But they looked at the rest of him, and they was going to put them in a sanctuary. They was going to have to stay there the rest of their lives. God, help us tonight to see that's exactly what the devil wants to do to you and me. He wants us to come to church. He wants us just to stay there on that church pew the rest of your lives. He wants you not to recognize who you are. He wants you not to receive the full power that God has given you. He wants you to stay in shock and just live a good life. But see, living a good life ain't good enough. Living a good life isn't what the bride was called to do. She was called to be the overcomer. But you know what? The devil wants us to get to this place, to get us in such a shock from warfare, to get us in such a shock from the battle zone that we don't realize anymore who we are, who our family is, who the Bible, what the Bible is, and we lose focus on really the most important thing in our lives. Because you know what? Let's just be honest. We all like a nice vehicle. We all like a nice car. We all like a nice steak on a Friday night. But what's the most important thing in our lives? If we've been born again, there's something on the inside that is crying and moaning for a rapture to come upon this land, to get out of this land. That's what drives us every day. He says that they was going up on a hillside, the train pulling, and they stepped up, stopped at a station, let these boys out and stretch their legs. And the guards got out on the hill to watch them. Because with amnesia, he said, why? They had to watch them. And they watched over one young fellow here, and he got out. And he began to look around at the water tank. He looked all around over the hill. He rubbed his face, and he studied it a while. He looked again, and he seen that water tank. He looked all around the station, and he started walking. Oh, my. Children of God, it's about time we start walking. It's about time, you know what, if you had this signs of the time. It's time to rub our face. It's time for us to start studying the Word of God. It's time for us to see the times that we're living in and realize it is time for our power to come into that bride. He said, oh, he rubbed his face. He studied around. He began to walk. He said, instead of the guard stopping him, he followed him. He went up over a hill, down a little path. He turned to the right and he went over another little hill and he came to this little log cabin. And he looked, and coming out on the porch was an old man with a cane in his hand. He came out and threw his arms around him. And he said, my son, I knew that you would return. He said, oh, they told me you was dead, but I knew that you would return. And he said, that boy came to himself. His amnesia left him, and he could identify who he was. He knew that was his father. And he tells that story, and he begins, and he goes on down in the next paragraph, and he says, oh, soldier of the cross. He said, there's been a shock. It's been so much training, some shocks of denomination, creed, things of this world. Why don't you step off for a few minutes and go to looking around at the Bible? My one around you might find your identification in the Word of God. Children of God, we're living in an age that we're shook every day of our lives. We're in the battles every day of our lives. We're in the temptations every day of our lives. We're fighting a warfare, a spiritual warfare amongst us. It's easy to get shocked. It's easy for a blast to hit beside you, and it sends you in a state that you don't know what's going on. It's easy for you not to understand the battles that you're in. It's easy for you to go back and say, but why, God, is this happening to me? Why, God, is this happening to my family? And it causes you to lose focus on what we're trying to accomplish. It causes us to lose focus. It causes us to lose our consideration for the Word of God. It causes us to start looking at everything but the Word. Come on. We're not angels. We're all human. I fight the same battle. I'm not somebody greater than you. I'm right here in this war with you. It's so easy to take our eyes off the church, take our eyes off the Word, take our eyes off the message, and get shook to a point that we look for self-help books and we look for some motivational speaker to make us feel better. But all God is wanting you to do is realize who you are and recognize you're a son and a daughter of God, and you can come back to Him. What is it? Soldier of the cross that's been shocked so many times. Look, the prophet of God knew that you would be in this situation. God showed him as the eagle prophet of this day, as the word prophet of this day. He showed him that you would go through these things, That's why he told stories like this. That's why we read stories in the Bible like we did the last time of Moses and Moses having an experience. What is it? It's for examples for you and I to see. These are human going through battles, and God knew that we would be here. He gave us the scripture. That's why he gave us the prophet. You know what? He had to give the prophet to me as a little country boy because I probably couldn't understand a theologian. I mean, I can't hardly say the word. But he had to give somebody that could speak to me, that I could understand all the ain'ts and the haints and the y'alls. I could understand what he was saying. Why? Because God had a bride in Middle Tennessee. God had a group of people that needed to hear the word of God. And he knew the best way to do it was send one from among them to preach unto them and show them the word. What is it? It's giving us an experience with God. It's giving us that experience that Moses had that changed who he was. He wasn't the same guy after the burning bush. There was an authority that rose up in him. Why? Because God had gave him the power to overhaul the demons of that day. He had gave him the power over the sea. He had gave him the power over all the plagues. Why? Because he was called for that day. We read the scripture. We read the oh, what Brother Brennan says, I have chosen you to go down and deliver my people. I'm giving you power. What is it? He can't give him power until he trained him. You can't receive this power until you've been trained. You can't just come into church tomorrow and have all the power of God behind you the next day. You've got to go through a testing period. Whatever the length of that is up to God. But you've got to go through that character building. You've got to go through sicknesses. You've got to go through health problems. You've got to go through death. You've got to go through trials of this world to get an understanding of who you are. We don't get it. As humans, we can't wrap our minds around it. We struggle, look, as a mom and dad, we struggle when we see our kids not living the way we think they should. We struggle when we see them not attentively going to church, not showing emotion in church, not worshiping, and it bothers us as parents because it should bother us. But we got to realize if they're a child of God, they're coming in whether they want to or not. They can kick against the bricks all they want to. But God said all that my heritage was mine. God said every one of them was mine. I claim them by the blood of the Lord of Jesus Christ. I claim them and place them before the cross. One day they'll see. Look, let's just be honest. It's like I told some brothers the other day. They was talking, and they was talking about the young people and some of the stuff the new age young people is getting into. And I just said, hey, stop for a second. I said, I got a question. I said, when you was 18, 19 year old, how was you living? Come on, let's be honest. Can we just be honest? At 18, 19 years old, I wouldn't want y'all to see me. I wouldn't want y'all to hear me talk because my talk wasn't good. I wouldn't want y'all to see the places I went because I'm ashamed of the places I went. We better be praising God for what he's already done for our young people. We best be blessing God for how he's already kept them from. Come on. God can't give you power without an experience. So many people wants to, look, I'm not against school. Don't take me for that because I've got an education. I'll just hide it. Look, so many people wants to go to school and gets all these degrees and expect to walk in the door and just take over a company. It don't work that way. You got to have some experience to understand what to do. Look, in the Old Testament, they would bring up judges, and they would look at judges, and you study the history of the judges, and they would find a judge that knew the law to a T, that understood and had an explanation for every word of the law. But then they would look at his life, and they would find and make sure that he had had problems in his life, that he had made mistakes in his life. That way he could understand grace. He could understand grace, and he could understand somebody a second chance. It wasn't a big judge up there, but it was a judge that came to maturity and that understood how to judge the people. Amen. Look, children of God, we need to come to that place that we receive in the power on high and understand that we don't just condemn everybody to hell when they make a mistake, but we reach out in prayer to them and say, God, if they could recognize who they was, they could overcome this too. Amen. Look, I couldn't overcome anything without God. Look, I like to be Mr. Strong Guy, and what about songs come on the way to the church this evening? I thought I was number one. Look, I run in the crowd. I wanted to be the limelight. I wanted everybody to look at me. I wanted to be number one. I would do the stupidest thing in the world to get everybody to look at me. Look, let's just be honest. But you know what I found out? Without him, I'm nothing. Without him, I was nothing. I was a wayward son running from God. But I come to a place that I had to catch who I was, recognize who I was, and move in his word. I had to come to that experience. What is it? Brother Branham said in the exposition of the church ages in Sumerian church age, he said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." He's quoting scripture. He's quoting Paul. He said, unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. He says, you have to suffer before you reign. He said, the reason for this is the character. It's the character simply is never made without suffering. Oh, we don't want to hear that. We want to just walk in and everybody think we're perfect. But no, we're going to go through some sufferings. Character is never made without sufferings. Character is a victory. Character is a victory. When you look upon your life and you see what it's been and where it used to be and you see where you are now, that's victories in your life that you can hold before the Lord and say, I've already overcome these things. And the scripture says, he that brought you this far is not going to turn you back now. He's leading you to a perfected body. He said, oh, what is it? He said, it's not. He said, it's a victory. It's not a gift. He said, a man without character cannot reign, because power apart from character is satanic. He said, but power with character is fit to rule. Power received from on high, true Holy Ghost anointed power, is fit to rule when you have a character to hold on to it and to understand what it means. What is it? Moses had to come to that place. What about in our day? We read the scripture again. I referred to it. I've chosen you, Moses, to go down and deliver my people. And then I would say, he would look at us today as the bride of Christ. And he would say, I have chosen you, church in Murfreesboro. I have chosen you, bride of 2022, to lead us and to guide us into a rapture. I've chosen you to be an overcomer. What about Joshua in his day? Joshua realized who he was. Go to the book and we could read the scripture in Joshua. Joshua was a great man of God. He was a general of God. He was leading the army of God. You know what, though? He still had problems. He still had conflicts. He didn't win every battle that he faced. Why? Because he was a human doing the work of the Lord. But you know what? There was times in Joshua 10, God would come down. He says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not. I have delivered them into thy hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Now Joshua's got a revelation of who he is. He's recognized that he is the chosen one for this day. He's got a word straight from God that he's not going to have one stand before him. And what does he do? He presses the battle. Children of God, we recognize who we are. We begin to receive the power of God. What are we going to do? We're going to press the battle like we've never done it. We're going to press the battle harder than we've ever pressed it. We're going to try harder than we've ever tried. Why? Because there's something inside us groaning to be the manifestation of that son or daughter. We're looking to a point, you know what, that we begin to look at our lives and we begin to see things that everybody else thinks is okay. But we look at our lives and go, you know what, if I took this out, I could be closer to God. It didn't take a preacher to tell me that. It took the Holy Ghost inside of me to tell me that. It's greater than this world. It's greater than the ministry. It's the Holy Ghost living inside of you, giving you power to see your own weaknesses. What was it? Joshua goes into battle in this portion of the scripture. He goes into battle and night begins to fall. And we know the story so well that we repeat it like a children's hymn. And we don't ever catch the real power that Joshua had. Joshua stood there and said, son, stand still. What it was, he had no doubt in who he was. He had no doubt in the power that God had given him. Oh, come on, church. If we can get to the place that we don't have no doubt of who we are, that we don't have no doubt, power that God has given you and I, there's nothing can stand before us. You know, what do? The pastor gets up. A minister comes by and preaches and tells us you can have anything you want. And we begin to reason in our mind why we can't get it. Come on. Come on. We start depending upon theology. We start depending upon our intellectual knowledge more than we depend upon the Word of God. We say, but I've had it for 20 years. I'm not going to get rid of it now. No, you ain't with that attitude. But if you can do like Joshua and say, you know what? I ain't worried about what happens. I ain't worried about how he's going to do it. I ain't worried about when he's going to do it. All I know is I'm in a situation in my life and son, stand still. I believe he said it with force. I don't believe he goes, I wish that son would stand still. It's kind of what we do sometimes. I wish God would intervene with my kids. No, Joshua didn't play that game. He said, son, stand still. Because he knew he needed that son to stand still. What he says, that they heard Joshua speak. The son stopped. The scripture says they heard Joshua speak, and then they seen God with their own eyes in action. Children of God, the last voice of the last day is laying in a rapturing bride. It's laying in a bride that has that power that the world is going to see. They hear the bride speak, and they see symptoms change around them. They see circumstances change. Look, they may not fully understand what's going on, but absolutely the people that you're in contact with every day, they realize when you pray, things change. They don't understand that you have the power to change things, but there's something in them that they know without a doubt. If I can get sister so-and-so, if I can get brother so-and-so, if I can get their church to pray for me, things will change. Because there's a power in that prayer. So many times the world recognizes it before we recognize it ourselves. Don't be coward when you're speaking to the devil. If you do, the devil will overrun you. When the devil comes into your house and torments you, call it a devil and tell him to get out. Look at the devil and say, instead of son, stand still, devil, stand still. Get out of my house. You have no reason to be here. We do not welcome your presence in our home. We do not welcome your presence in our family. Why? Because we are the sons and daughters of God, and we have the power of God. What is it? See, Brother Branham and I have heard, but now I see in 65. Brother Branham, speaking of Joshua, he said Joshua was in an hour of crisis. He was in an hour of crisis. How many times have we been in an hour of crisis? Come on. We've been in an hour of crisis. It's so easy sometimes to fall back to what we understand. If the bills are due and we don't have money, we understand we can borrow money. One of the greatest curses that's ever happened to us. Come on. But we can find a way out for ourselves. If we're sick, well, I'll just take some more medicine. And we always figure out how we can make ourselves better. We can figure out how we can dress better. We can look better. We can present ourselves better. We can become a better person. But you know what? If you want to become a better person, come to know my Lord Jesus Christ. And then you don't have to do anything. But he said, oh, Joshua, he said he was in an hour of crisis. He said when the armies was routed and the sun was going down, Joshua was a prophet. And he knew that if the Harmonies ever had a chance to unite again and come against him, he would lose more men. Come on. What's he saying? He didn't say that he knew he would lose because Joshua wasn't going to lose. Come on, children of God. When you beat up the devil and the devil scatters around, that's the time that you should go on your attack. That's the time you should chase every devil from your house. That's the time you should chase every devil from your family. Why? You've got them scattered. They're nothing against God anyway. But when they become separate, they flee like the bugs in the room. What is it? They're scared of the power of God. And that power is laying inside of you. He says he wasn't scared. But Brandon didn't say he was scared he was going to lose. Joshua was never scared he was going to lose. He knew that he was going to win. But he knew that he would lose more men. So he said, son, stand still. He said, so in that hour of crisis, when something has to be done, he said, there's only one thing. He said, if you could keep them running, he'd route them, everyone down. He said, but there wasn't enough light to do it. So Joshua stood up, raised his hand, and he said, son, stand still. What, he had the power of the Almighty inside of him. He said, oh, he said, stand still. He said, and moon, hang over at you until I get through with this battle. And the sun stood still. They heard Joshua speak, and then they seen God with their own eyes. He said, oh, see, of course, it was a paradox to see something that seems impossible, yet it's true. He said, but the sun stood still, says the Bible. And I don't know what you people think, but he said that thinks the world was run now. But anyhow, the sun stood still. He said, perhaps, he said, oh, he said, Joshua never had to try to figure out how it was going to happen. How he was going to do it. How God was going to do it. The only thing he said was, son, stand still. Why? Because he recognized who he was. He had the power of authority in his voice. And the bride of Christ has that same power in her voice today. When she fully recognizes who she is, when that devil comes up out of the pits of hell and begins to worship and begins to fall down and lay drugs and lay pornography and lay videos and lay homosexuality out there, what does she do? She stands up and says, devil, get behind me. I'm not falling for your tactics. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Devil, you want some of this? No, you really don't, but you know where it's coming from. Come on. He said, what was it? He said the same thing. He said, Joshua never tried to figure out how it was going to happen. See, that's what we struggle. Look, I hear so many believers. Look, let's just be honest. I hear so many believers. Well, God said it. I mean, I don't know how he's going to do it, so I don't know if it'll ever happen to me. No. What you should say is God said it. I believe it, and that settles it. I don't care what the devil throws at me. I don't care how bad he makes it look. I don't care how awful he makes it look. I don't care how strange he makes it look. I don't care what he does to me. I don't care what sicknesses he may bring. I don't care what temptation he may bring. I've done caught a revelation of who I am, and I realize the power that's greater than him is living inside of me. I realize that it is living inside of me. He said, oh, he said, same thing in Mark 11:23. He said, if you say to this mountain, move, and you don't doubt it in your heart, and you don't doubt it in your heart. So many of us could put a face on. We could raise our hands. We could praise God. We could put a face on that we believe who this is. But can we not doubt it in our heart? When we lay down at night and pull the covers up over our heads, can we lay there with that same anointing that we had Sunday morning in church and say, greater is he that's in me. Devil, you have no power over me, whether I'm in the church service, whether I'm walking down the road, whether I'm laying in my bed. The same power lives in me 365 days a year. But you can't. He says, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt it in your heart, he said, but believe what you say will come to pass, then you can have what you said. He says, but you can't stand there and fumble in your mind and say it and not get inspired to say it. See, Joshua didn't sit there and say, huh, I bet you I could win this battle if somehow I could figure out how to stop the sun. No, he never had that much time. You know what? When the devil strikes, we don't have that much time. This is a war zone. When the enemy begins to throw darts, when the enemy begins to throw missiles, when the enemy begins to lay landmines at your front door, when the landmine goes off, you can't think how to prepare against a landmine. You can't go get your self-help book and say how to search for landmines. It's done went off. It's too late for all of that. It's too late to educate yourself on the enemy's warfare. It's too late to educate yourself on how he's going to attack your family. But it ain't too late to stand up and say, son, stand still. It ain't too late to stand up and say, devil, you have no place in my life. Stand with boldness. Don't fumble in your mind. Don't try to say it. Try to figure it out. You've got to be inspired to say it. The only way you could be inspired is to be filled with his Holy Ghost. You can be inspired of the devil. But the way to be inspired of God is to get his anointing. To get who he is. What was it? Oh my, 1960, go tell. Brother Brennan says Easter means much to us because we have joined in and we've enjoyed the fellowship of his resurrection. We was once dead in sin and trespasses. Like the prodigal son, now we have found grace. And God has forgiven us of our sins. And he's also given us the seal. He said, like he did Father Abraham, to confirm that he has accepted us. He said, oh, Father Abraham said that he believed God and he gave him the seal of circumcision as a confirmation to that he did believe him. And now, Father, today we are circumcised by the Holy Ghost. And all things of the world has passed away. And we have one objective, to serve you.
Amen.
We have one desire, to love you, to be your disciples.
Amen.
Look, we're coming to a place. We're living in a day that the devil is coming like we're coming.
Yeah.
All of those and all of the demons and all of the everything in the world was released upon this age.
Right.
You're living in a day that you're fighting more than just Goliath the giant. I mean, I've said it so many times, it would be easier if we could just title our giant and kill that giant. But we're living in a day that we're attacked from all sides, every angle, all day long. You can make friends with somebody and you can feel comfortable in their presence and the devil will use them to attack you. Come on. Come on. You could go to work and you could find a place of some sort of peace to think everything's okay, and the devil will stick his foot in it because he don't like you. He don't like the God that you serve. He don't like the God that's living inside of you, and it's his job to make it uncomfortable for you. You know what I say? Thank God I'm uncomfortable in this world. Thank God that I don't get complacent living this life. Thank God I'm not comfortable just going through the routines and the rituals of life. Thank God there's something inside of me that's desiring more of him. You know, they talk about the prodigal son. Nobody ever preaches that the prodigal son never went back. They just kind of leave it. The prodigal son, oh, it's a wonderful story. And it is. But when he come home and he realized who he was, he didn't take everything that the father gave him and went off again.
Right.
He stayed with where God brought him to.
Right.
You know what you see in a day and age? You see people in and out of churches, bouncing from this church to that church to that church. What are they? They're not even prodigal sons. Well, they're running from the very presence of God, and God is trying to bring them. God is trying to give them, and they won't receive their blessing. And they run to another, and they run to another, and they run to another. And the whole time God is saying, come. Come. What is it? We're not of this world. We can't be happy in this world.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking about an okay, happy, and be satisfied and get through life. I believe God wants us to be here. But we can't be completely happy here. Because
right.
There's something inside of us that wants what's really given to me.
Amen.
They want the real power that's given to me. Look, we get into the mysteries and we start understanding mysteries, and you don't have to understand them all. But every time God gives you something, you want more.
Amen.
What is that? That's a call inside of your life to receive more character, to receive more power, to receive more instruction from him. You're gaining ground. You're gaining levels. You're going up another level. You're getting a little closer to him. But don't look at others around you to see what levels they're their own. Look at your life and say, this is me before God. Let me climb my ladder. Let me meet through my ladder. In Judges, we hear Samson, and Samson's one of my favorites. I know it's Jacob's too. He told me Sunday. He says, then went Samson to Gaza. There was a harlot. He went into her. And it was told to the Gazarites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they caught him, laid wait for him at night in the city. And they were quiet in the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. Come on, children of God. This ain't just scripture. This is our life. Every time we go about, the devil's setting up traps for you and I. He knows who you are. He knew who Samson was. He took the enemy of the Philistines to try to kill Samson time and time again because they realized who he was. Even when Samson was struggling to realize for himself who he was, the enemy already knew who he was. Look, even when you're struggling in life and you're trying to find your placement and you're trying to find your position and you're trying to find the right leadership, the devil already knows who you are. Why is it that he battles you in the field? Why is he battles you from the time you first mentioned something about God? He begins to give you every trial there is, trying to distract you away. He's laying in wait to kill you. And quiet all night, saying in the morning when he comes day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight. And he arose at midnight and he took the doors of the gate of that city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and he put them upon his shoulders, and he carried them upon a hill before Hebron. And it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Now we can read it all, but you can go home and read it all. But what happens? The devil found something to lure him away from his promise. What do you think he does to you and I? Brother Branham says the devil's got a punch at you. You better guard it. He knows your greatest weakness. He knows the thing that you struggle with the most. He knows the temptation that you fight the most, that God is trying to work with you and get you to be an overcoming power. But the devil knows your weakness, and he's coming for that weakness. And he looked at Samson, and he said, Samson, I'll give you a weakness. I'll give you a beautiful love. And he kept drawing him back. And we know the scripture three times, Delilah tried to get the secret. Look, the denominations are trying to get the secret from us.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
The foolish virgin is trying to get the secret from the bride.
Yes.
Look, the secret ain't very, you know, it ain't very, you must be born again. That's the secret.
That's right.
It ain't some great revelated thing. You must be born again.
Yes.
What was it? He kept going back to Samson saying, oh, you fooled me. Do it again. Tell me what it is. But you know what? He finally pressed him until he gave in and gave him the secrets of his heart. Children of God, that's what we do if we're not careful. We're living in a world of sin. We're living in a world that's forgotten and begotten. We've recognized who he was. God's beginning to build character in us. God's beginning to give us power. But in our daily lives, we begin to wander away and be lured away. What is God? What is the devil using to lure you away? Come on. Bear with me a little bit, okay? What is he using to lure you away? He's using Delilah and Samson. What is he luring you away? Is he luring you away with your job? Is he luring you away with the fashions of the world? Is he luring you away with all of the temptations and the fun times and the concerts and all of this? Is he luring you away? What is he luring you away with? We need to recognize our weaknesses. We need to recognize that we are the sons and daughters of God, and he's given us a way out to look upon his word, to look upon him. What is it? But you know what? They took old Samson and they took him to a place that the scripture would say in verse 21, the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and they brought him down to Gaza and bound him to the fetters of brass, and he did grind in a prison house. What did he do? They took his vision away. We couldn't see no more. See, that's what the devil's wanting to do to you, is cover your eyes where you can't see the word anymore. Cover your eyes where you don't get excited when the word's preached anymore. Cover your eyes and not let you see who you really are. He's trying to convince you you're just another ordinary person. And there's Samson. And Samson's at the grind wheel. And he's blind and he can't see no more. And they shaved his head and he's walking in circles and he's pushing that old grind wheel. He's pushing and grinding meal or flour or whatever it may be. He's pushing it every day of his life. If he slows down, they beat him with the whip. Come on, children of God, it feels that way some days in our lives. We get in a walking circle. We get in a place that we just feel like we're just in a walking circle. We get up in the morning. We say our prayers. We put a tape on. We do all of the right things. But we still have to go to work, clock into work. We still have to deal with the world. And we get in this circle of life. And we get in the circle of time. And we lose track of who we really are. And Samson's there walking in circle after circle. But something inside of Samson keeps telling him, you're more than this, Samson. This is not what God called you to do. Little church, he should be speaking to us tonight, saying this is not what he called his bride to do. He didn't call you just to be a good employee. He didn't call you just to be a good person in this earth. He didn't call you to walk in a circle of life with no end. He called you to a greater thing. No, Samson got tired one day. He got tired of walking that same circle. He got tired of having the same prayer. He got tired of having the same realization. This ain't who I am. He got tired of saying, but God gave me power over my enemy. Why am I bound by my enemy? Children of God, realize you have power over the demons of this world. You are not bound by them unless you bind yourself. Samson has bound himself because Samson has took the enemy and he took his word over God's word. And Samson has bound himself to this grind mill. He's bound himself to this mill. And that's what me and you do so many times. We take our own fault. We take our own lust. We take our own desires. And we bind ourselves to the circle of death. And we're just going through life. And everybody around us can see it. Everybody around us is praying for us. Because they see you're not as happy as you used to be. But you know what? There come a day that Samson had enough. Samson had all that he was going to take. Samson knew who he really was. Samson knew that he was given the power to take down the enemy. Samson began to go back in his mind as he's in that circle of death. And he says, you know what? The first time the scripture talked about him coming to hide and coming to kill me, I took them giant gates and I walked up on the mountaintop and threw them gates down. They come and they tried to kill me again. And God rose up inside of me again and again. And God was always there. Children of God, it's time for us to realize in this hour, we don't have to take nothing from the devil. We don't have to take anything from the devil. We don't have to take any loss from him. We don't have to take any sickness from him. We don't have to take any punishment from him because Jesus done paid the price. And Samson said, that's all I'm going to have. He begins to look for an ally in this little boy and tells him to lead him down to the tumblers. We know the story. Scripture says, Brother Branham, we refer back to it, says he killed more in that last once more than he did in all of his life. Children of God, that's not just a scripture. That's an example for you and I. If we can catch that revelation, if we can catch that revelation in 2022, when we're just going in a circle of life, when we're just going to work and eating our lunch, going to work and getting off, coming home, eating supper with the family, putting the dishes up, and we're just in a circle of life. It's not the sins that betrayed us down. It's the daily activities. The devil steals the time and the happiness away, and we become just in a rut, going around a grind mill, just making things go by. But you know what? We wasn't called to do that. We was not called just to be bound to it. We was not called to be bound to our failures. We was not called to be bound down by the devil and all of his tactics. But we was called to recognize who we are and to have power over them things. We was called when the devil comes into our home and he begins to bring something up. We was called to step out and say, devil, get out of here. We was called to say, I don't care if you like it or not, but I'm believing the word for my day. We was called when all of the spiritual warfare comes against us and the devil tries to offer us peace prizes. He tries to offer us, well, you know what? If you'll just go to church and sit on the back row, I'll let you be happy. Boo, devil. Boo, devil. I don't want to sit on the back row and be happy. I want to sit on the front row and worship him. I want to feel his anointing when it comes off the pulpit. I want to feel the anointing when it runs the circle of this building. And it makes me want to jig. It makes me want to dance. It makes me want to run. It makes me want to shout. Why don't I do it? Because sometimes I fumble in myself on what I should do. We need freedom in the church of God. We need power in the church of God. We need to let ourselves get out of sight and say, God, what is it you want me to do tonight? You didn't call me just to sit here on a pew. You called me to be victorious. You called me to be a strong tower in the day that I live in. You called me to be a mother that would pray for my children. You called me to be the one that I could stand up and be an example to my younger children. You called me to be the one to be an example to the youth group to show them you don't have to sin like I did. There's coming a time that we're going to quit looking and making excuses for everything that happens around us. Look, thank God we have a desire to come to church. Yeah. It's Wednesday night. We're at church. I hope you're having a good time. Yeah. God speaks to us and tells us it's worth every sacrifice. Yeah. It's worth every sacrifice I make to get to the house of the Lord. to come in and hear Brother Mark begin to lead songs. And you know how many times he sings a song that I was singing that day? You know how many times he was singing a song that, you know what, I went through something that day that was in that chorus, that was in that verse. What is it? It's God letting me know you're not alone, children. I know your problems. I know what you're going through. If you'll gather yourselves together, I'll bless you in my name. I'll lift you up in my name. What is it? We need to get tired of the daily grind of just going through our daily ritual. Hey, look, I'm human. It's real easy to just go about your day. The same, what is it they say? It takes 7 days of doing something to make it a habit. Some of us need to make better habits. Some of us need to break our normal routine of our circle of death tonight. Some of us need to look at that circle of death and realize, you know what, sometimes it's okay to step out and go the other way. Sometimes you don't have to make everybody happy. Come on. Oh, wow, that didn't go hit. Sometimes our biggest faults is trying to make everybody happy. I want to make God happy. You want to make God happy. I promise you, if you're making God happy, you're making me happy. If I'm making God happy, I should be making you happy. Because we serve the same God. We understand that we go through trials. We understand that we go through pits. We understand that we go through valleys. I don't look down on anybody going through a valley. I pray for them a little extra that day, that week, that month, because I've been there, and I'll go back there again. I go through situations in my life that I don't know the answers, that I don't know the right thing to do, that I don't know the right words to say. I lean upon His Word. Say, God, guide me through another day. God, get me up and let me have the words to say. Let me be inspired as Joshua was and say, devil, out of my family's life. Devil, out of my children's life. Devil, out of my own life. You have no place in me. Because He's given us this power. What is it? He's waiting on us to manifest who we really are. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You're not received in the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit, and we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If we be so that we suffer with Him, we also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of the present time is not worthy to be carried unto the glory which shall be revealed in us. Us. Not the preacher. Not the other church. It shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth, and for the manifestation of the sons of God. This world is crying for you and I to come to full placement of who we are. This world is crying. This world is not happy with the sin that's upon this world. This world is not happy with all of the disease that's upon this world. I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the world. It's done. It's to a point of frustration that it's blowing volcanoes everywhere. It's blowing earthquakes everywhere. It's trying to shake you and I to get into her position. It's ready to be burned over. This world, if it had a mind and could speak to us tonight, it would scream out to us, get in line. I'm tired of seeing sin walk across my face. I'm tired of seeing the enemy take control in Satan's Eden. But I know there's a bride up there. That one day she's going to walk away. And hellfire and brimstone's going to swap this earth. And it's going to purge me. And it's going to clean me. And then they're coming back to live on me. The earth is moaning. The earth is groaning. Everything that we see is the evil trying to battle what's coming to pass. What is it? 2 Timothy 3. What is it people struggle with? He said they know they're also in the last days. Prevalence times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that do it. Don't it fit? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Never coming to a character that they can receive that power. They're never, what is it? It's not just denominations, it's message people. Come on. I know I get ridiculed for it all the time, but they keep ridiculing. The denominational spirits have crept into message churches and have bound them down to where they can't worship no more. They worship in a feeling and an emotion, but they don't have true worship with God anymore. What is it? He's looking. They're having a form of godliness, but denying the power of. Romans 10 says, so then, he said, faith cometh by hearing. Why do you go to church? To hear from God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have you not heard? Yes, verily, I went into all the earth, words to end of all the earth. It's manifesting time. The handwriting's on the wall. We're at the end of time. It's time that the power comes back in the church. It's time that me and you get prepared for God to start inspiring us to do things. Don't count it scary. Don't count it misunderstanding when God speaks to you to say something. Tell it to speak what he says. It's coming to that time. The invisible union of the bride of Christ. But the elected, God is calling to the elected. They know it, calling the virtuous bride. The word, the last day church, the elected lady of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the word. How many believe that? He said, all right, he said, the bride is always part of the bridegroom. So the bride will not be a denomination. It'll have to be the word manifested to be the bride of Christ. He promised to do it. He said how he did, loses his pattern. He always did it by that pattern. He's done it every time by that pattern. He does it again, calling out his virtuous bride in the last day. Bride, he's calling you and I. What's he calling us to? The adoption of the sons and daughters of God. He's calling us to a place in the church age book, in the Laodicean church age. Brother Brennan says, he will speak out. And those who receive that prophet in his own name will receive the benefits effective of that prophet's ministry. And they that hear him will be blessed and become part of that bride of the last day who is mentioned in Revelation 22:17. And it says, the spirit and the bride say, come. The corn, the wheat, the bride's wheat that fell into the ground at Nicaea has come back to the original word grain again. Praise God forever. He said, yes, listen to the authenticity prophet of God who appears in this last age. He says, what he says from God, the bride will say. And the spirit and the prophet and the bride will be saying the same thing. And when they say, and what they say has already been written in the word. He said, they're saying it now. Come out from amongst her. Be separate. Musicians, come. I'll find that place. We're living in a day. This is our manifestation. When you can say the same thing that the word's already been written without having to read it, but you become inspired of the Holy Ghost. Revelation 22 that he referred to, and he said unto me, seal not the sayings of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, they come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, for they have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates of that city. For without dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh lie, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bride and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let her that heareth say, come. And let him that athirst say, come. And whoever shall will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto you, every man that heareth the words of prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of prophecy, God shall take away the part of the book of life. And out of that holy city, from these things which are written in the book, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Stand with us. We're coming to the final manifestation of what we say we believe. And you know, it's like anything else. If we went out here naturally speaking and we begin to climb Mount Lacan in the Smokies, some of us wouldn't make it to the first red stop. Some of us wouldn't make it to the halfway point. Some of us wouldn't make it to the final rest stop. But there would be a group that would make it all the way to the top. We're climbing Mount Zion. Spiritually speaking, we're climbing a spiritual battle that's greater than there's ever been. The scripture tells us there's a falling away. As we're climbing the battle, there's people falling away around us. But thank God, there's a bride that's going to make it all the way to the end. Amen. Amen.
Well, I'm not giving up. No, I'm not turning round. By the grace of God, I'm going to wear a shining crown someday. Oh, and I'll keep holding on to that nail-scarred hand. No, I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on.
Let him know.
I've been walking through the valley. No, I'm not giving up.
You made it.
No, and I'm not turning round. By the grace of God, I'm gonna wear a shining crown someday. Oh, and I'll keep holding on, holding on to that nail-scarred hand. Oh, I'm not giving up.
All the way to the end. Amen. God bless the online audience. Sunday morning, 9:45 children's choir. 9:45 children's choir. 10 o'clock Sunday school. 11 o'clock church. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Let's sing another song and worship him.